Today we are here to talk about people who are not here. They are called the nuns. Now I know this used to be a convent, and it did. And we bought the convent and we remodeled it and made it into our very own spiritual home. And those nuns aren't living here anymore, although they're welcome. We know that, they're welcome. And that's part of the theme of today, too. We're here to talk about the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S. Perhaps the quickest growing group of religiously self-identified people in this country. In the fall of this year, there was a survey done by the Pew Research Group, and I'm going to read to you from those findings. Today, in 2012, almost one in five American adults, 20%, describe themselves as religiously unaffiliated. The nuns, religiously unaffiliated. That equates to about 46 million adults in the United States. So this is a big, growing, important group in American society. Where does the name nuns come from? It comes from none of the above. None of the above. I think many of us who are gathered here this morning at one point might have been none of the above. Actually, I don't just think it, I kind of know it, because many of you have sat in my office and spoken with me. I see some people raising their hands, have spoken with me about where you were in terms of your faith or your religiosity or your affiliation before you found your way here. So here are a few more findings from the study. It finds that 68% of the nuns believe at least somewhat in a god or a higher power, that 41% say they pray, that 23% consider religion at least somewhat important in their lives. Now, one of the nuns, Claire Noel Frost, age 28 of Brooklyn, says this: who coaches people on how, she coaches people on how to organize clutter in their lives. She said, "There is so much I cannot prove. I'm not sure truth exists at all. Instead of I believe, I say, well, maybe, and who knows?" That's what Frost says. Now, this is all very interesting, hearing that the nuns are people who pray, to a large extent, people who feel that there is some kind of God or higher power. It doesn't sound so foreign here, does it? It doesn't sound like it would be out of place in our halls. Peter Morales, the president of the UUA, says this: "Our goal is to offer a religious home to feed the spiritually hungry and to offer shelter to the spiritually homeless." Isn't that something? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless. Our spirits deserve a spiritual home. Our longing, that hole within our hearts that is shaped like community, deserves a home, deserves to be fed. One of the things that I couldn't have orchestrated this morning was that at least two of our wonderful new members mentioned home in their sentences that they wrote about becoming a member, and that's perfect. We really do want to be a home where you can be you, a safe home where you can develop your spiritual life and your spiritual practices. Morales goes on to say, We can transform our congregations into places where tens of thousands of new people, people just like you and me, find a vital, engaging, and transforming spiritual home. The answer is religion. It always has been. It always will be. The spiritually hungry and the religiously homeless come to us every week. Our challenge, our goal, is to feed them and to house them. So this is very interesting, because I had always thought that the nuns were non-believers. Raise your hand if you thought they were non-believers, the nuns. Some of you thought so. I thought that non-believers didn't pray. No, they haven't found a home. And that's a very important concept that distinguishes us from many other faith traditions. And that's what I hear all the time from people who speak with me here. One of the respondents in the survey on the nuns wrote, her name is Rachel Merriman, and she recently was interviewed on public radio's Religion and Ethics Weekly, and she said, "My church was actually pretty good, but I sort of just had issues with religion in general." She's a young woman. She said, "Young people today are becoming increasingly willing to tolerate people who are different, to tolerate different sexual orientation, different religion, different ethnic backgrounds, to tolerate whatever. We don't want to be told what we can't accept, that we can't accept gay marriage or that we can't support birth control or abortion. You can still be moral and you can still be a good person without being religious." Now, it's interesting because here what we see is religion being defined as creedal and as dogmatic. We know better, right? We know better. We are non-dogmatic and we are non-creedal. So, why go to church if you can believe in God and pray and be a moral person? These are big questions and deep questions. Why go to church? Well, for me, it's because this heart of mine, and perhaps your own, was born with a connection-shaped hole in it that can only be filled by connection. There is a reason that isolation is a punishment. It is used as the most extreme punishment in many of our penal systems. The reason is because of that hole that we are born with. Why church? Because it creates a safe container, this container of faith community that the very messiness of life can be held in and supported in. We are not alone. We don't have to walk the journey alone. There is a safe container for us, and yes, life is messy. We come to a community of faith for a container in which to learn how to live our lives and to grow. Our mission statement, and when I was applying to be a minister, you just about had me at the mission statement. This is what it reads. "The Unitarian Universalist Congregation of South County is a welcoming, loving, spiritual community practicing Unitarian Universalist principles," which you'll find on the back of your order of worship. They're very important to read over. "Practicing Unitarian Universalist principles, we offer a safe, respectful environment for personal and spiritual growth for children and adults. We don't offer a creed. We don't offer a dogma. We don't offer rules." Well, we have a few. They're good. The UUCSC serves as a resource for social and environmental action and for peace. It was Reverend A. Parrell Davies who wrote, "Religion is just a chance to grow a soul. Religion is just a chance to grow a soul." Now, from what I read about the nuns, I think many of them would be in favor of growing their soul. I think many of them haven't heard of us yet. And that's part of our mission also, to be heard, to be known in the larger community, so that just like our new members today, there are people who can come here and say, at last, I found a home. So that's how we unlock our hearts. We unlock our hearts, and it is holy work that we do here. I want to read to you a writing from my colleague, Barbara Peskin. It's Prayer for Those Gathered in Worship. In this familiar place, listen. Listen to the sounds of breathing, creaking chairs, shuffling feet, clearing throats, and sighing all around. Know that each breath, movement, the glance meant for you or intercepted, holds a life within it. These are signs that we choose to be in this company, have things to say to each other, things not yet said, but in each other's presence, still trembling, behind our heart's doors, these doors closed but unlocked here, these doors, each silent thing waiting on the threshold between the unknowing and knowing, between being hidden and being known. We come here to seek being known. It's so easy in this culture, especially these days with screens. It's so easy to be hidden and not be known. But you come here and you can't hide too well, because sooner or later, someone's going to miss you if you're not showing up, and people are going to be asking about you. We're human beings. We have a hole in our hearts that is filled by connectivity, by community, and part of that is a safe place to be known. Find the silence among these people and listen to it all, breathing, sighs, movement, holding back. Hear the tears that have not yet reached their eyes. Perhaps they are your own. Hear also the laughter building deep where joy abides, despite everything. Listen, rejoice, and say, amen. It is important to be here together. It is important that we do not have creeds and dogmas and rules telling you how to be and what to believe. It matters that the Unitarian Universalist congregations all around the world create safe space for human beings to come, to grow spiritually, and to be known. I'm looking forward to welcoming more nuns here, and it won't be long. Peter Morales says, we can transform our congregations into places where so many people just like you and me find a vital and engaging and transforming religious home. The answer is religion, as he said. It has always been religion. So, a creed means what you believe. A credo is, I believe. But in close connection to that word is another word called cordo, which means I give my heart to. I give my heart to. And I believe that's what we do here. We find what we can give our hearts to, what we can stand behind and support. We're not told what to stand behind and support. We find what we can stand behind and support. We have shared principles, and they are not a creed. Many will say, well, aren't the principles our creed? Well, actually, no. We do covenant to support them as congregations, but as individuals, we can use them as guides in our spiritual journey. So if you're not familiar with them, they are printed on the back of the order of worship, as are our sources, which are varied and wonderful. There are so many sources which we call upon in our journey. Now, when we come here, it is in fact a challenge at times to feel close to someone whose individual beliefs may differ widely from our own, but it is also, and you've heard this from me a lot of times, an opportunity. When something is a challenge, we can grow it into opportunity, and then it becomes blessing. It is an opportunity to expand the narrow confines of our personal thoughts and grow a bigger understanding. One can love thy neighbor because Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Moses, Krishna said so, the golden rule in many different tongues, or because we just believe it's good. But shared values are what hold us together, not shared beliefs. My friends, why church? Why are we here? Not because we're going to be told a creed. We're here because life is difficult. And I, for one, need help. So do the spiritually hungry. So do the spiritually homeless. We come here, as our opening words said, as Sophia Lyon Foss's words said, because some faiths close us and contract us and separate us and tell us what's right and wrong. And many of us have found our ways here because we chafed with that teaching. But our faith is open and expansive and a gateway for growth. And I do want to read one of my favorite readings, which speaks to our diversity. It's called That Which Holds All by Nancy Schaefer, and it speaks of a minister who is addressing her congregation. Because she wanted everyone to feel included in her prayer, she said right from the beginning several names for the holy. Spirit, she said, Holy One, Mystery, God. But then, thinking these weren't enough ways of addressing that which cannot fully be addressed, she added particularities, saying, Spirit of life, Spirit of love, Ancient Holy One, Mystery we will never fully know, Gracious God, and also Spirit of this earth, God of Sarah, God of Gaia, Thou. And then, tongue loosened, she fell to naming superlatives as well. Most creative one, greatest source, closest one, closest hope. Even though superlatives for the sacred seemed to her probably redundant, but then she couldn't stop. One who made the stars, she said, although she knew technically, a number of those present didn't believe the stars had been made by anyone or anything, but just luckily happened. One who is an entire ocean of compassion, she said. And no one left. That which has been present since before the beginning. Then, although she hadn't imagined it this way, others began to offer names. Peace, said one. One my mother knew, said another. Ancestor, said a third. Wind, rain, breath, said one near the back. Refuge, said another. That which holds all. A child said water. Someone said Kuan Yin, then womb, witness, great kindness, great eagle, eternal stillness. And then there wasn't any need to say the things she'd thought would be important to say. And everyone sat hushed until someone said, Amen. Amen. My friends, when we say, it is a blessing to be here together now. I hope you're all feeling right at this moment, somewhere deep within you, what a true blessing it is. We are blessed by our principles. We are blessed to be a great gateway to growth. We are blessed to love one another, even when it's a stretch. Especially when it's a stretch. My heart doesn't grow unless it's a stretch. It is very, very good. It is a blessing to be here. And I'll close with some words from John Burens, who, while he was president of the UUA, was interviewed for a local news broadcast in Salt Lake City. He was asked whether, given that we are so liberal, is there anything we would not accept? He replied, and I'm paraphrasing, of course there is. We don't accept hatred. We don't accept bigotry. And we don't accept oppression. How good it is. How good it is. The truth is that there are so many of the nuns who are really with us in spirit. They are hungry for spiritual depth and community. Yes, our challenge is to connect with them, to feed the hungry, and to house the homeless. We have found a home. Might they as well. Blessed be, and amen. And so it is. We are of the Spirit. Let's go and turn the world around. We are not the nuns. We are the many. And so it is. Blessed be.